Na 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 na. Hey, gotta love that podcast show. Na 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 na. Hey, yeah, I love that podcast show. Oh, BS and beer is the place to go to get all the Saints news. Hell yeah, podcast show. Na 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 na. Hey, gotta love that podcast show. Na na.
Now, recording live, it's the BS and Beer Podcast crew with your host, David Romero.
Welcome in another week, another edition. It's the BS and Beer Podcast crew recording live in the offseason, wall-to-wall New Orleans Saints football talk from our studios at the Meat House. With me today, Craig Wright, Dell Mims. So grab a drink, sit back and relax, because for the next hour or so, we'll be doing New Orleans Saints football talk, BS and beer style.
Hey, folks. All right, listen. I'm so not in the mood for you guys. You're blabbering on and on, okay? And it's enough, all right? It's enough. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, today's Monday, all right? So stop doing your stupid radio thing. And if you want to pick up where you left off tomorrow, at least it'll be Tuesday, all right? So just keep it down. Actually, don't keep it anything. Just stop, okay? Just stop doing what you're doing.
Gentlemen, welcome. I'll start off with you, Dale. How's this winter treating you so far in the off season?
I'm dealing with the ice apocalypse. And like my backyard is all iced. But, you know, we got some sun. It's going to be melting pretty soon. Get back to normal. Get back out there, man.
So y'all both be getting snow this time of year, huh?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Where I'm at, the snow. But having said that, I'm looking at the temperatures around the country, and it was colder in Houston than it was here. So, I mean, you know, it's kind of funny how that works. When everything's normal, you got all these, you know, discrepancies in temperature. But when that cold front of that storm comes through, it's like everything in its path is about the same. But it looks like, Texas is their whole weather pattern is changing. Now winters are brutal and freezing things because they having another, maybe not as bad as last year, but another one of those ice storms.
Yeah. If you remember that one last year, that's when I was driving across the country. So I remember all the roads out there just be frozen solid. That was pretty fun.
Yeah. What's the main
being Cowboys fans?
What's the main thing that people get at the store where you guys are when something is about to happen? Because at my store, it's like bread and milk. It's like,
well, I'm on the bayou, thing. Brother. We buy sandbags when stuff's about to happen.
Yeah.
Sandbags. Bread. That's a good question.
Bread. The bread goes first down here.
Okay.
We just catch and kill everything else we want to eat.
Man, okay. Now that's a whole nother thing. Like I used to think like that, like being a military guy. And all the stuff that I did, survival training and what have you. Like, I start thinking about all the MREs that I had, the prepared food. Mm. Like, man, am I really going to go, like, chip and bark off a tree to survive? I don't know if I have that skill set. Like, so, well, you know, my wife's dad's makes a garden and stuff. And I'm like, I ain't got time for all that until you starving. Then it's like, hey, show me how to plant a tomato, you know? So, mm-hmm. So sure. I think people need to start reconsidering that at some point, especially they talking about another war with Russia. Now we turn into a generic talk show here.
Yeah, I'm going to save my conspiracy theories about the fall of the American society for another show.
We have the BS and beer political talk show. But the point is that
all this
talk starts making you realize, because even with the pandemic and all this stuff, the issues with transportation and the trucks. I mean, you go to the store and there's stuff that's empty. And there are a lot of Americans who don't realize that milk comes from a cow, right? Milk has to go into a truck and get delivered to the store. They just think it magically appears on the shelf and everything will be fine. But all of a sudden it's like reality starts slapping you in the face and you're like, dang, man, where's this and that? Or, you know, but it's funny. I mean, I don't know if funny is the right word. It actually kind of, you know, like a little worrisome, you know?
It's pretty concerning. That's what it is.
BS and Beer Podcast, the worldwide leader in absolutely nothing.
All right, so let's start off, and I know this is kind of, you know, we've been recording maybe every other week in the off season, and the first thing that I know has been beaten to death, but we at least got to touch on it, is your feelings. I'll start off with you, Craig. Your feelings on Sean Payton retiring.
Well, you see, I am a very very logical man. I don't have feelings that I'm aware of.
Stop it.
I try to see everything objectively.
Sorry.
No, I mean, I've done the full stages of grief, you know, where I was, there was bargaining, and then there was depression, then there was anger. And now I'm really excited. It's weird. I'm more excited for this. Like when the Saints get knocked out of the playoffs, I don't watch the playoffs anymore. I don't watch Super Bowl usually. I'm usually bitter and angry about some no call or some miracle play. But this year I'm really excited. I'm going to watch the Super Bowl. I'm going to watch all the stubbornness of the draft. I've got this new energy. It's weird. It's this new chapter, you know. Breeze is gone. Payton is gone. It's this, the whole NFC South is up for grabs. It's just this weird enthusiasm I'm feeling. I'm re-energized for,
you know,
this whole thing.
I think I feel what you're saying, Craig, because I kind of had that same thing last year when I just got to the point where I said, it's time for Breeze to go. And the thing is, if I say, list the pros and cons, like, listen, I mean, see, yeah, okay, we could talk about some deteriorating skills or whatever, but I had no illusion that we were going to get better when he left. None. Right. But yet, isn't it funny how people are, Dale? You just like, I just want something different. You know what I'm saying? It's like, no matter how great it was, or it's still very good, let's just pull the plug on it and try something different, see what happens.
Yeah, I don't get that. I'm a person that's kind of opposed to change a little bit. So I'm more of, let me go ahead and stick my head in the sand until it's all over, and then I'll come out and see what's going on. Like that's really how I feel. I hate this so much.
I believe you, because you said that in a text message, and I laughed. Yeah. And I'm like, well, you know, he's like, no, just call me when it's all over, and I'll start watching again.
Yeah, if I had my choice, like Dennis Allen would have already been hired, and we would have, you know, been filling out the rest of our staff. And everything would be just as it was before Sean Payton left. All right. Cause that's what I want to see.
Right.
But all of this possible change is scaring the heck out of me, man. I'm telling you.
You know, scientifically, there's two types of organisms. There are those that change and those that die.
Oh, I kind of feel like there's a death threat there, Dale. I talked about his emotional abuse.
We're going to get stacked.
I talked about his verbal abuse. You know? Now it's flat out threatening your life. That's what I heard there.
Don't be like a Biba in the morning. I just sound tougher. No, I think we needed a shakeup. You know, like Sean Payton did as the best coaching job I've ever seen in my life, just to drag us to the finish line. But you know, you can't expect the guy to keep going into the trenches with the roster he's been given and everything that's going on. I think we just need something new. We do need a shakeup.
I don't disagree with that, but why not? That was my point. Why can't we expect him to be with us in the bad times and the good times? So it's, hey, I built this up. It's great, but it's not so good no more. I'm gonna go down the street where it's better. That mentality, like, I can't stand the NBA in there. Let's all go play for Miami. Yes. Let's all go play for this other team and win championships. That don't play with me. I'm sorry. Preach. Like, that don't mean nothing. my feelings on the Sean Payton thing, I think it's a combination of both you guys. I am excited, like I mentioned with the Breeze thing, but this is going to show my age. Do y'all remember when Dennis Rodman kicked that cameraman in the nuts?
Yeah.
That was the kind of feeling I had. And it was, you know, what's funny is it's the same thing too. When you get kicked in the nuts, kind of like this delayed reaction. It was kind of like Peyton's retired. And so the only thing is, I don't think I'm gonna have the $200,000 surgery that cameraman got when Rodman kicked him in the nuts in the lawsuit. Because right now, if it was the similar thing, I'd be over there, you know, talking to Payton about a settlement.
Yeah.
Inflation, that's $1 million right there anyway.
Absolutely. Okay. So now that we've talked about the old head coach and, you know, how we're obviously better and improved without him, 100%. Let's talk about some of the obvious. There's a list. Dale, I'll let you read the list off. A list of candidates, all of them better than Sean Payton. It's just a matter of which type of greatness do we want to pick? You know, do we want to pick offensive greatness, defensive greatness, win a Super Bowl defensively or offensively, or maybe just, you know, it's just which direction of greatness do we need to go?
I know that's a bit of hyperbole, guys, but it is a really impressive list. The Saints have really done their diligence.
Well, here's the thing too. Mickey Loomis talked about, and it's just all common sense. It used to be Mickey Loomis. He said, I had to call everybody and kind of convince them to come in and sell them on. Now the rumors start leaking that Sean Payton's leaving. And next thing you know, he's getting phone calls from agents saying, hey, my guy wants to talk to you, this and that. Dale, read that list that you, didn't you have the list?
Craig has the list.
Oh, Craig has the list.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Craig.
Yeah. So we got the guys that are in-house. We've got Dennis Allen and we've got, Darren Rizzi, our special teams coordinator. I think that's how you pronounce it. Then you got the guys that we've already passed on or have passed on us. So that is going to include Doug Peterson, which I know Dale is a huge fan of Doug Peterson.
Dale hated also, his idea.
And then I don't know how to pronounce Brian Daboll, but I think he went to the Giants.
Yeah.
But we showed interest in him. I guess that was mutual. And then we got the fun, exciting candidates like Byron Leftwich, which I think would be really fun. We got Brian Flores, which would be fun. And the big name, the big fish everybody's excited about, Eric Bieniemy.
Yeah. Okay. Let me start there. Man, okay. I don't know if a guy is good or not good. Is Sean Payton a good coach or did he have Drew Brees? But like, did Bieniemy call those plays where, you know, the quarterback rolls to the left, escapes everybody, rolls to the right, escapes everybody, runs away from a guy, spins out of a tackle, and as he's going to the ground, sidearms a ball 30 yards downfield in between two defenders and catches it? Because the Saints, last I checked, do not have a quarterback like Kansas City has.
So plain and simple, right? If he comes to the Saints, then he made Mahomes. And if he goes anywhere else, then Mahomes made him.
End of the conversation. That's the only thing that I worry about when guys are the coach of obviously incredible players is, and listen, half of the plays that Mahomes makes, I mean, you can't say that's not coaching. That's just incredible. But that doesn't mean that he doesn't. Because one thing I do, you watch Kansas City, man, they have a variety of plays that they run that are creative. And I often think to myself, you know, the shovel passes and they run that stuff in high school. Why don't they run it in the pros? And I think it has more to do with someone who has the nads to actually call it in a pro game and try to make it work than, you know, Dale.
Yeah, definitely. Being creative in the, I guess, in the room there when you're drawing something up on a napkin is one thing, but on the playing field, being able to call it at the right time, I mean, that's some skill involved. That's preparation. You're looking at tendencies and everything like that. So yeah, it's impressive.
Craig, one of the things about Bieniemy, and you brought this up, I believe, in our group, Taysom Hill. I remember getting in a debate with, I think it was Heath, and he was suggesting that Taysom Hill got paid too much, and I didn't like that. So I looked at it like, well, he's getting $10 million, you know, five of us to be a backup and fives to be an offensive skill player, and I think there's a good value there. So I went to look it up to make my point and realize Taysom Hill doesn't have a lot of touches.
Which
now makes me say, well, that does seem like a lot of money. So the question is, would Bieniemy be the type of guy that could find a more creative way to get Taysom Hill not only touches and creative ways at quarterback, but implement him in the offense in other ways other than quarterback?
Right. So a few things there. One, money does not matter with Mickey Loomis. And I cannot wait for everybody on this podcast to understand that money is irrelevant with Mickey Loomis and to leave his damn contract alone. Having said that, I think that's a real possibility. Bieniemy in Kansas City, they do a lot of wildcat kind of fun off traditional stuff, like you guys are saying. And I think that there's, you know, whether you think that Taysom Hill is a starting quarterback or a tight end or a backup or whatever the hell you think he is, he's clearly very talented. He's got a lot of skills that you can work with. And I think that a creative offense like that could really showcase something like Taysom Hill's abilities.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Now, Leftwich, didn't he coach Jameis Winston in Tampa Bay? I'm pretty sure, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he was there towards the end. Yeah.
He's the offensive coordinator. Yeah.
So, I mean, is does that say something? You know, is there
Is well, there, he was there for the 1 season, year, 30 interceptions. Do we want to have that connection?
Right. All right, let's move on to the next guy.
That's the Arians offense, though. It's like we said, Sean Payton and Carmichael. It's, you know, Leftwich was the OC, but, you know, that's Arians' offensive system. And only really changed halfway through last season when Tom Brady kind of just started doing his own, you know, his New England thing. But that the Arians' offense has historically produced a ton of turnovers, specifically in the first season of quarterbacks in it.
That's the truth. So then moving along, Glenn has moved up the ranks pretty quickly. And I guess, you know, listen, man, we only see like, oh, coach, you know, it's a defensive backs coach and a coordinator. Like, people know these guys and they know what they're capable of. They know I mentioned to you guys about Carmichael, who didn't even interview and turned down an interview to interview for the Saints head coaching job. And it's always been said that he just doesn't have that charismatic personality that when he walks into the room, people like, oh, that's the coach. That's the guy. He more has like a easygoing. And so he doesn't have that personality. Glenn apparently does. When he walks in a room, he commands respect and he's moved up the ladder. The problem with this, and while we talk about these candidates, now we're kind of getting into the in-house. It seems like the options are keep things status quo, keep the clubhouse the way it is, and keep Allen. Or do you think that there are greater things to be had out there? Because if you bring Glenn in, I don't believe Glenn worked for Allen. I don't believe that Dennis Allen sticks around. I say that, but he hasn't had any other interviews, has he?
I don't think he sticks around no matter who we hire.
I think he had a Chicago interview. That was it, right?
He canceled that. That was on the same day Payton retired.
Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah. I haven't heard anybody else talk about him.
So, and the thing about it, you think, oh man, everything's great, man. If you go get a guy like Flores, you bring him in and everything's the same and we got the same coordinator. That's a pipe dream. No outside guy is going to come in and just say, you know what, I'll just jump in the front seat and drive the car the way it is. They want to put their mark on the team. And Flores is a very strong-willed, I'm doing it. He's a Belichick guy, a Parcells guy. He's doing it my way. I know what I'm doing. Get out of my way. This isn't what I want to do. And I think he would sweep. I'm not saying he'd get rid of everybody because obviously the Saints have some good staff. But I think it would even be a matter of if he walked in the room and didn't get a warm, fuzzy feeling from Dennis Allen, who might feel a little rejected, that he would say, you got to go. I'm not starting off with anybody that I have to somehow make friends with. You see what I'm saying?
Are we going to touch on it all, Flores' current multiple lawsuits?
I try to stay away from that kind of stuff.
The one I really want to hammer on is the one against the Dolphins, right, where – they were paying him to lose games, and he still won games. And that, my friends, is why I want Brian Flores to be our next head coach. Mm. The man went 7-1 in his last 8 games, despite being paid extra to lose them. Mm. Yeah.
That's a good – you make it a good point, man.
You mean that guy who wants to win so bad that he's taken it out of his own check to do it? Give me that guy who's already suing the NFL. He's going to get here, and he's going to see what our weird, crazy statistics are about penalties, and he's going to sue them again. Get him in the building.
Okay, so this is not an original conversation, but it's one I haven't had yet. Okay, the stats are out there. The Saints obviously get the short end of the stick on. Listen, I'm not a conspiracy theorist by any stretch of the imagination. I'm not saying you don't make a good point, but I always just be like, it ain't happening. It is obvious the Saints consistently get the short end of the stick on penalties or however you want to pose it, because they're not getting penalized, the short end of the stick of the other team not getting penalized.
Yeah.
So does a hire like Flores in this current situation, does it make the NFL say you need to back off? Or do we get rid of one guy the NFL hated in Payton and bring in another guy the NFL? We really want to make change. We want to do this. We want to do that. But in closed doors, get his ass out of here.
Two options, right? Either they realize that now everyone knows and they have to back off, or they double down and they just screw us every week from here on out. There's only two options.
Because listen, now Sean Payton and in this climate, with a black head coach, I don't think that they can just do what they want. But they've done what they wanted for years. And we complain about it. We bring up, like, they have mathematicians who bring up the possibility of the, it's a 1.237% chance. This yeah. is a mathematical anomaly. But everybody does. Oh yeah, that's bull. And in other news, so-and-so ran for 100 yards today, you know, so nobody cares. So what would stop them from doing the same thing with Flores that they did with Peyton?
What was they won't, but this time we'll sue because Flores isn't the head of the competition committee.
you are very litigious. Apparently, you're a very litigious dude there, Craig. He's just like, sue everybody. You're sued. Lawsuit for you. You could.
I'm gonna have that lawsuit vinegar until Goodell is living in a cardboard box on a street corner somewhere. Get him out of here. Sue everybody.
Yo, if it happens, we need to produce middle fingers. That we bring to, you know, all the things.
Foam fingers, but yes, they're the middle,
middle fingers. Yes.
Oh, I would buy those so fast. Yes.
Yes. Man.
Absolutely. That's fantastic. Let's do it.
All right.
Can so we get on the ground floor of that? Does anybody have some manufacturing connections? I want to have a BS and beer branded middle finger. Yeah.
Let's adopt Steve Austin theme music and everything. The glass shattering. Let's do it. You know.
Can we do this?
All right. So I need to know from you guys two questions. The first one, Flores, assuming everything, do you hire him knowing that the NFL could very well just continue to put? Do you want to just be the rebel who's always with some reason why we can't?
Yes.
It seems like that's a Saints thing.
That's a
man, they screwing us. You know, I'd rather not get screwed and win. So, but it's almost like a Saints fan. We want to be screwed. So, like, I want to win, but Lord, I need to talk about some stuff. And honey, look what they did to us. That is so wrong. They spend more time bitching and complaining about how they got screwed than how they feel good about winning.
Some offense.
So
to that
Craig's
whole,
already said
small town parish right there. Absolutely no. Hire the man. Guy wins games. Guy wins games, but he's not supposed to win games. Give me the guy who wins games.
I think we as Saints fans enjoy beating the other teams and the refs. We do enjoy that part.
You can't do one without the other lately.
It does make it feel more gratifying, right?
Yeah.
Oh, the Saints had 16 penalties for 312 yards and won the game 16-10 today against.
That's right.
Well, I mean, not to take that too seriously, but y'all notice that it's not that we get penalized all that much more than anybody else. It's that our opponents don't get penalized.
Right. That's a better way to hide it. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. You're 12th in the league in penalties. I mean, you're in the top half of the league. Yeah, but the other team don't ever get a flag. So, all right. So now the answer after we say Flores, I guess it almost falls into do we change it up? Do we shake it up and say, let's see what the future holds in a different direction? Or do we keep it, or do we run it back basically with Allen, yes. which is, so yes. Dale don't like change. Dale's all about
run
like,
it run it back. Look, Sean Payton left us with the greatest coaching staff that's ever been assembled. Like, if y'all remember though, Chris Richard is even getting interviews for head coaching job as a DB coach. So yeah, we need to keep these guys, keep them all. Let's go.
Run Craig, I think we know the answer. We're going in a new direction with Craig.
You know, we got away from Aaron Glenn a little bit fast, but I got a weird feeling that he's going to be one of these guys he's going to be a big time, big name head coach. And it's kind of like it's one of those has been never going to be kind of worlds we live in. It's like either the guy's not qualified or he's already succeeded and he's been snapped up. So it's like, you have to know who's going to be good before everyone else does. And I just kind of get a weird feeling that Aaron Glenn's going to be a big time, big name coach. And this is kind of the chance to get him before anybody else does.
Yeah. Well, do you remember like a few years ago when they had that funeral for somebody and all the coaches were gone? And so they left Aaron Glenn in charge. It was during training camp, some one of these seasons. And I mean, Aaron Glenn ran the show while everybody was away. So I think he's really being considered.
It's kind of that pipeline. He's kind of being groomed to be a head coach. He's been moving upwards at a real good trajectory. Everyone speaks real highly of him. He's getting all these looks. I want to get Flores. I think that's a fun kind of injection of new blood. But Aaron Glenn makes a lot of sense. He's going to be a head coach. He's going to be a head coach soon. He's been in the building. He's got our culture and our you know, the way we do things, but is still removed from it because he's been somewhere else and he's got that new blood. So he's kind of both worlds. It makes a lot of sense.
Dale, I'd like to give that some credence, but didn't Sean Payton go away from a year and left, was the linebackers coach in charge? So I mean, I can't take it. Yeah, he left old Vitt in charge for a whole year. So yeah. I don't know how much I'm going to give
and
him
a couple
of days.
And he became Kevin
James
in that year.
That's bad. Have y'all seen? Y'all didn't see it yet, huh?
I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah. I watched Home Team, man. It's an Adam Sandler movie. That's what it is.
The point is the whole thing was, if they just wouldn't have said it was about Sean Payton, then it would have just been like, oh, it's just some feel-good movie about, you know, getting these kids and winning and stuff. But it had nothing really to do with, I mean, loosely based is the only way that I can say
I enjoyed the Super Bowl highlights, for sure.
But before we move on, yes, before I move on, you talked about Glenn. I got to point out my buddy Luke, a longtime friend, pointed out that that's his choice. And he said that if Glenn gets picked, he got to get his recognition. Y'all kind of beat him to it. But that's his pick, too. And I told him I'd let y'all know. Okay. All right. Let's see. Let's not forget to talk about. We have the BS and Beer email. It's BS and Beer at iCloud.com. And we want people to start. We've kind of gotten away from a lot of things. We want to start interacting with the fans again. So send us an email. Give us your thoughts. We'll read it on the air. We'll talk about it. Also, we started, what was it? A Facebook page. It was a BS and Beer Media. It's the same thing as our Twitter account. And we're trying to get that thing going. We have like two whole followers. So it's exploding. It's blowing up.
Exploding.
It's exploding. So all you Facebookers out there who don't spend a lot of time on Twitter, get in there. That's where you can ask some questions, talk to us, interact.
Keep in mind, everybody, there's three of us and only two followers on Facebook.
Isn't it sad when like there's three of us and we don't have enough family and friends? Like just our mamas should be enough to, but we don't. Does that say something about us? If people didn't actually download the show, I would start feeling really bad about it right now.
I'm going to have a strong conversation with
stop
my mom.
And listen to it separately, you know, so you get the second download.
And
listen with me. I'm listening here. You go over there and on your phone, you listen over there.
We talked about beer brawls. We were going to start it this week, but we had some technical issues. What we're going to do is it's going to be a little Saints trivia, and we're going to get the fans to compete against one of the staff members every week. So look for that starting next week. Let's talk quarterbacks. I've seen ESPN, NFL Network, or not NFL, NFL.com, and a local writer talk about this. The odds? Jimmy Garoppolo and the Saints. I don't like it. I'm sorry. I don't like it. I don't like it. I know Craig likes him and his choices of companionship. but personally,
it's a nice little joke right there.
I do not see. It seems that the 49ers will be looking for maybe, they said a second day pick. It could be a second rounder, it could be a third rounder. But man, you start seeing the list of teams. I'm stealing Dale's thing here. Sign Jameis Winston.
Yes.
I'm sorry, man. If Jimmy Garoppolo, if you have to give up anything for Jimmy Garoppolo, I'd be just as happy with Jameis. Now, Jimmy does some things that Jameis can't do. Jameis can do some things that Jimmy can't do. But I still think the ceiling is there's more meat on the bones for Winston if you get him, if you get the offensive line healthy, you get the receivers, you know, you get Thomas back, get another receiver to complement him, and the other receivers we have in the room of all are all of a sudden better if they're the number three guy, four guy, five guy instead of one and two. So I don't know, but Dale, I'll start with you. Jimmy Garoppolo or any of these other options out there. Let's start the quarterback talk again.
Well, so yeah, Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be available. You know, you got Russell Wilson that you could possibly get. But like those are like the main two big names, right? But yeah, it's you have to trade for these guys. So you have to give up some kind of asset in order to obtain them. And then you have to rework the deal so that you can keep them in house. So to me, man, it's too much. giving up pieces to acquire them, and then giving up money to, you know, keep them happy. So, I mean, Jameis Winston is free right now, and he's coming off injury. I say go ahead and make a deal with him right now.
So, Craig.
Right, but we know why we haven't, right?
No.
We haven't made a deal with anybody because we're getting the head coach first. Coach knows who wants. Whoever we hire as head coach knows who he wants as quarterback. So all our speculation is exactly that. You know, I can talk myself into Jimmy G. I'm obviously a big Jameis Winston fan. I want him to be the guy. But no matter who picks up the clipboard, he's going to make that decision, I think. And it's kind of – that's why – we're stagnant on that front because, you know, financially it makes more sense for us to work with Winston sooner rather than later. Right. If we kind of transfer it into an extension kind of thing, we could probably save money and drag it out, but we're not going to do that until we know if we want the guy.
Well, I don't mean to be the, well, actually guy, but I don't think that Jameis Winston is going to sign before free agency. He's going to, there are teams. I'm sorry. I know we've had this debate, in my humble opinion, right off the bat, why do we want Jameis Winston if nobody, as our starting quarterback, if no other team in the league has any interest in him? I just don't believe that. Maybe last year, I get after what he did. Again, right. I'm not even trying to convince you that what he did last year, it needs improvement. But you can argue the offensive line wasn't healthy at all times. His skill positions were definitely not up to par. But now all of a sudden you got Pittsburgh that has an opening. You have Indianapolis might have an opening. You have I had all these names and I can't think of
Carolina.
Right now. Carolina. Hell, we're talking about Tampa Bay. Right. Tampa Bay might have an opening. Now, would that happen? But there's a point that, listen, all these teams are in the same boat as us. Like, no, we want another Drew Brees. We're just gonna wait for the best of the best. But all these other teams want them too. That's why all these teams lose, is because there's one decent quarterback and four teams want him. And that's how they get this big money. Then when you sign a Jameis Winston to a $20 million contract, which is now a bargain.
Yeah.
All the fans are like, oh, that aren't like 100% behind Jameis Winston. Oh, we pay too much. Well, it was either pay that or don't get him at all. So my thoughts, and again, Craig, you kind of make it hard for me to go into this subject because you're 100% correct. The coach isn't here yet. You're not going to go sign a guy and the coach say, not really my guy. Or maybe hypothetically you want Glenn, but Glenn's like, no, that's not the type of offense I'm trying to run. You just signed this guy. Now I got to deal with him for the next 2 years. But here's the thing. There are no quarterbacks coming out that's going to be an immediate, or at least I don't want to say immediate help, but a guy that, listen, we might have to suffer through 1 year. They're all developmental guys, which means they could be a Jimmy G in 3 years from now. So there's no Calvary on the way in this draft. So that means at very best next year. So when you sign in Winston, it is my humble opinion that you need to sign the guy, say, look, I'll give you some security. I'll give you a 5-year deal and I'll give you that $16, $18 million, but you'd only give him so much guarantees. So after 2 years, if you need to let him go, you can let him go. You give him $30 million guaranteed. So that's two seasons that's guaranteed. After that, you know, got to go.
I mean, that's assuming, you know, he'll come to that agreement that, you know, he'll be willing to sign a 2-year deal. He's been willing to sign 1-year deals.
No. What I'm saying is like a 5-year deal. Give him like a 5-year, $80 million deal. I know that sounds with 2 years a lot.
Guaranteed.
With $30 million guaranteed. And when I say gotta go, I'm sorry, I got distracted. I want to catch myself. What I mean is if you find a guy that you can draft and you can develop him, well, you're still going to need a bridge quarterback. So now you have Winston for another year. If Winston blows up, you have him for 3 more years.
Right.
So my point is it gives the Saints the options, gives him some security, gives him a couple of years to prove himself again. Because my point is there is nobody out there right now that is significantly better. Like, are you going to give up a second or third round draft pick for Garoppolo and a 25, maybe $30 million contract? When you have Winston, what's the difference between the two? Is it that significant?
Yeah, the difference is that Winston might be great and Garoppolo is Garoppolo.
We know what Garoppolo is. He's not bad.
No, and we could talk ourselves into it. If we have a strong defense and a strong running game, Garoppolo could absolutely win games with the Saints. But, I mean, it's frustrating because it's got that dirty word potential. And that Jameis Winston is basically just infinite potential. He has every physical tool a quarterback could ever want.
Absolutely.
And man, the leadership, I wish it would work out.
leadership has been huge. Like just
the guys love him.
Yeah. Yeah. When your team loves you like that, man, that matters a lot. And I noticed the difference immediately when Breeze came in compared to Aaron Brooks. Like the leadership component, it was something I always thought was BS, but no, it's real. It is real.
All right. So I think that you have a guy. The only thing is that Jameis, golly, man, there's a whole nother element in this that people aren't even open to, because it's very much like Jameis is the girl that, like, you know, she always texts you, she always calls you, and you kind of like, nah, I'm trying to get this one over here. And then, but there are going to be some other people asking her to prom.
That's right.
And
that's
and us fans, now the team is probably aware of that, but us fans are like, ah, well, you know, and next thing you know, you're going with the, well, I got to be careful here. You're going with the less than desirable option to prom.
Are you going to be by yourself at prom? That's
right. Right. And then you see Jameis sitting over there, like looking all nice, got his little dress on. And so, you know, you're like, God, what'd you do? Oh man, you looking good. And like, she like, yeah, I know. And walks away. And so my point is, man, I don't know if it's a good thing or bad thing, but we are in a situation right now where we have to convince ourselves that somebody is some type of answer. And I'm going to transition into the last part of our conversation today. And that's not names, but positions. What positions do the Saints need to upgrade the most? And what I'm going to do, the way I'm going to do it is one big free agent signing. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe not, you know, top tier, but one significant free agent signing and your first three draft picks. And maybe that's even, maybe because we spoiled because of Paulson Adebo and guys in the past from the third round have been pretty productive. But so let's go to. So you got three players, not names, but what positions do you guys think the Saints should address in the offseason that would help the team the most? And give me kind of your plan. You're interviewing for the Saints head coaching job, and what direction do you want to see the Saints go? Start off with
jump in on that a little bit. I want to go after in free agency a big defensive tackle, somebody that can push the pocket and kind of add to that defense. As I'm thinking about it, is a lot of the guys we're interviewing, they're defensive candidates, and they're going to want to be good at defense. You know what I mean? We have an awesome defense. We've got a lot of great players on it. But what we don't have is real depth and real difference makers inside. You know, we think that our ends are going to be really good with how Davenport and Jordan and hopefully Turner are developing. But, you know, we don't have that same kind of depth in the interior. We have Onyemata, who, you know, he's good, but now that he's been busted for steroids, is he going to still be as good as he has been? I think we go get a big D tackle. That's our free agent guy. Now, on the draft, we got to go get a safety because we can't afford Marcus Williams. So I think I know this is kind of bridging topics, but I think we're going to end up drafting a safety because we're going to have to backfill a little bit. Assuming that's not the case and we can afford Marcus Williams, okay, that's, you know, I'll be more optimistic. We need a weapon. We need a wide receiver. I think that's obvious. I think if we get Michael Thomas and a new explosive wide receiver, it changes everything. Even if we don't upgrade quarterbacks, if we had Taysom Hill thrown to these guys, it changes the offense as soon as we add that layer. And, you know, you guys knew I was going to say it, but we need to address the offensive line and we need to address it early. I think whether it's guard or tackle, we don't know that Armstead's going to be back. And if he is, we don't know how long he's going to play. So I think you need to go a weapon on offense, probably a wide receiver. I could see a tight end if it's a transcendent, you know, Kyle Pitts type tight end that comes up.
Yeah, we not get that at 18, but I know what you're saying. Someone who makes a difference in the passing game.
Exactly. So something that immediately changes, you know, how we can stretch the field. And then from there, I you know, it sounds like a cop-out, but it's best available. The Saints have done that for a long time. You know, we have a good roster. You don't have to stretch for a position. I could see us going for a running back in those middle rounds. I know we talked about that off air, that you need to keep some of the miles off of Alvin Kamara. It's not the years, it's the miles. And he got a lot of miles this year.
Yeah.
So that's my perfect world. Free agent D tackle. We draft a receiver, draft O-line, and we get another running back.
Yeah, it was a really big cop out to say best player available. So Dale,
I backed it up. I backed it down and said running back.
No, but I am big on the thing now is because of the reduction of the value of running backs. You can get a very good running back in the third round. You can get a very good running back. Yeah, if you start getting lucky, you can find a good running back that might not have all the traits you're looking for in the fourth round. You know, so that's really what the draft is. The first round is a guy that, man, he can catch the ball, run the ball with power, speed, everything you want. Well, you get to the second round, it's like, well, he's a great running back. His hands aren't so great. Then you get to the fourth round, it's like, well, he don't have that explosive burst, but he has good vision, and he's a solid receiver. You know what I'm saying? So the point is you can find the skill set that you need. The problem is when Kamara wasn't in the game and then Ingram was injured, which you have to start worrying at his age, that could be the case. You have to have someone in there that can run the ball because you put – golly, man, I tell you what, you sent Murray packing, Latavius Murray, and I just assume, you know, everybody complained. And I'm like, man, the Saints must know what they're doing. But when they put what's his name from Notre Dame?
Jones Jr.
Yeah, Jones Jr. in there. It was like a wasted play. It was a wasted play. It run the ball in there, run in the middle, lost a yard, maybe gain a yard, and nothing. But anyway, Dell, let's hear your plan.
My number one target is going to be a wide receiver. The free agent wide receiver crop is pretty good. You got, you know, guys like Allen Robinson, T.Y. Hilton, Juju, Emmanuel Sanders, A.J. Green. Like, we can make a big splash and get another guy in here playing wide receiver. And that opens up our offense once again. So that would be my number one choice. And I would say probably second, I would probably lean toward defensive line, D tackle in particular, because missing Malcolm Brown last season was big for me with the rotation. Malcolm Brown was a big guy and commanded a lot of attention. And I think Onyemata benefited a lot from that.
Yes.
And so getting a guy like that back in the building would be helpful.
You know, what's interesting that you just pointed out, is it fair that we all kind of noticed a Onyemata regression, you know, that he wasn't as impactful. I didn't notice as a whole that defensive tackle was weak. Nobody ran on us consistently. Right.
Philadelphia.
Okay. But that don't count. I mean, that don't count. That's, you know, that anyway, but all of a sudden what you do realize is losing the other guy. Now all of a sudden there's just something on you modded it. Maybe it's because offense was able to focus on him more, but I kind of did not look at that as a high priority, Craig. But when you said it, I'm like, yeah, but now I think what we're running in when we start getting into our conflicts and where we should target is, do you want to make a strong unit stronger, or do you want to fix a pathetic unit? And so that's where I'm like,
does that seem like the same argument that we just had about moving a center to guard and moving a guard to center? Whereas do you want to keep one situation that's really strong? Do you want to keep it strong and make it stronger? Or do you want to try to put attention elsewhere and maybe weaken one but strengthen the other? You only have so many things to use, right? Only
so much resources.
Well, exactly. You only have so much that you can do. So you kind of have to pick and choose.
I think that's profound. But having said that, I don't think the defense is bad if we don't get another defensive tackle. We know what we have. Having said that one piece, that one defensive tackle, this hypothetical defensive tackle could come in and all of a sudden Cam Instance. Jordan, Turner, yes. My guy. I don't want to say two first. Davenport. I can't think of his name. Davenport. It's off season. I can't remember his name. All of a sudden, these guys are unstoppable because you can't stop the middle. So it's, and then now all of a sudden your defensive backs are better. Your linebackers are better. Everybody's better. So I get the point. Having said that, then once you get them to punt, your offense looks like it looked this past year.
Right.
And we won games 9-0 this year.
So now what we're going to, I was going to say, we can win them 6-0, maybe, is what you're saying.
How many games did we win without scoring a touchdown? Clearly, touchdowns are overrated.
Yes, obviously. And it's a good point, but I don't know. I feel like you can run it back with this defense, and you have to. I agree with you. In every one of my little mock drafts, I always look and say, who's there? And it's that wide receiver, or an offensive tackle.
Yeah.
And while you're going under the assumption that Williams is going to be gone, I'm going under the assumption that Armstead will be gone. So I always draft an offensive tackle, although I'm making an argument with myself that Ramczyk can move to left tackle, and then you don't have to spend a top pick on a right tackle. You can get one in the second round, or you know, one of the guys already on the team, you know, the kid from Kentucky. The Saints were really high on him. Very talented. Five stars going into college, which means nothing. But you get five stars because you have all the raw skills, right? Mm. If you can figure out a way to get him to play well at right tackle, then maybe you have something.
You know, when he was forced into the lineup this year, he did play well. He had some splashes. I mean, you know, he played about as well as you could hope for in the situation he was thrown into.
Sure.
So there's definitely something to build with there.
Sure. And the Saints are the only ones who can answer that question. But as fans outside the building, we're like, I can't go into season assuming that Landon Young is going to be their starting tackle at left or right. So I'm looking at it like the kicker is, it depends on value, but I'm either going to get that. I want to get a free agent wide receiver because we know how hard it is to get these rookies acclimated to the system. Sometimes I want to get a tackle early in the draft, first or second round. And then in the second round, and this, which gives us some flexibility because maybe we get that defensive tackle, but in the second round, I want to get another receiver or a tight end, something to affect the passing game. And then I want to get another guard in the third round, fourth round, meaning middle rounds to push. Maybe Ruiz gets better, but if he doesn't, I want more options next year. I'm not running it back. And if we end up with Ruiz developing and damn, he turned the corner and another kid, well, we just have more depth, you know, good for us and with injuries and stuff. So I'm looking at, I want to get these skill players and the offensive line fixed. And that to me is, you know, that's the direction I would like to go. And also you pointed out, I think it's imperative that in the third or fourth round, the Saints get a running back that is someone you put on the field and positive things can happen. You know, I don't know how to define it. But hell, nowadays, man, you find all kinds of really good running backs in the third round. So
yeah, running backs drop a lot in the draft. So you can get a good running back in the third, fourth round for sure. All you got to do is just, you know, you got to scout them out, of course, and bring them in. But yeah, we can definitely get them.
And to that point, like you could argue that a positive thing that he's doing on the field is being on the field, because that means Kamara is getting some air and not being the focal point every play.
Yeah. So I think there's a lot of guys I'm reading up. I'm just starting to get into the draft thing and reading about these guys and starting to learn about the later round prospects. But I think, listen, it's an exciting time. I kind of like Craig's idea. I know Dale's adverse to change.
That's right.
I like Craig's idea. There is a certain amount of excitement, especially in the offseason, because all it is hope and like, oh, this is going to be. And I mean, I have a spreadsheet and I'm putting all the players and here's the backups and I give them colors depending on how good I think they are. Green is the best and red needs to be replaced. But then it's not until September that you start realizing, boy, this ain't as fun with all this change. And there's something to being really good and having people in place for a long time. One way or another, we're about to find out, because we're going to have a new quarterback. We're going to have not necessarily a new quarterback, but we definitely have a new head coach.
Yeah.
And who knows what's going to happen. So it is an exciting time. Craig, any final thoughts?
Yeah, just honestly, it's weird. I touched about it a little bit earlier, but I'm excited. I've got new enthusiasm. I'm actually going to watch the Super Bowl. And I'm usually very against that after the Saints don't get there lately. There's a reason to be excited, guys. The team is still really solid. There's definitely work to be done, and we're going to have a new coach real soon. And it's an exciting time to be a Saints fan. I know it's easy to sound real negative about, you know, how things have gone, but I'm excited and I hope everybody else is too.
Okay. So positive spin, everything's going to be okay. All right. Like it. All right, Dale.
Call me when it's all over. I just
wait, just want to
wait till it's all over.
Oh, what's that Green Day song? That's Dale.
When September ends.
Let me know October 1st what our record is, and then he'll be like the gopher that the groundhog. He'll poke his head out and look both ways and be like, all right.
Oh, we're 3-6. Okay, back underground. All right.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, that's all the show that we have for you this show. So for Craig Wright, Dale Mims, I'm Dave Romero. You've been listening to the BS and Beer podcast, and we will talk to you here in a couple of weeks. Have a good one.
Who that?
And anyway, the person who sits here is but the most conspicuous member of a superb team of journalists, writers, reporters, editors, producers, and none of that will change. Furthermore, I'm not going away. I'll be back.
And that's the way it is.
Oh, boy, don't waste time to tune into our podcast. Oh, go give your time to Davy Heat and Thomas. We do this every week. Every Wednesday, so don't miss. We do this every week. Every Wednesday, so don't miss. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. Oh, we have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast.